Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? You guys excited about a brand new year, 2021? Man, happy new year. Hey, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at True North, and we live stream our second gathering. Would you give it up for those watching online right now and those that can't be here or those that watch it on CBS as we rebroadcast all those things? Hey, I want to reiterate, next Monday, we start our prayer and fasting week, and we'll have 7 o'clock prayer gatherings here, 7 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, normal Wednesday night service, which will be more of a prayer gathering service, and then our Thursday, Friday. And what a great way to reset and kind of recalibrate, and we're going to fast and pray and believe God. If you want to, maybe you're new to Christ and new to fasting and prayer, we have a prayer book out there that, in fact, we taught through that last year. But there's different types of fast, different ways to pray. Pick that book up. It'll help you a lot, lots of those different ways. We're going to, the next 2 weeks, preach a series called Reset. And kind of push a button to reset. Have you guys ever pushed a reset button? You know, and you just got to kind of recalibrate, reset that thing, get it going again. Before I do that, I want to just highlight again our Encounter Conference that Dr. Carol and Alexander and her husband, name just skips my mind right there. Wow. The Alexanders will be here. He's the president of a Bible college in North Dakota. But before that, he was the president of a Bible college in Great Britain. And before that, South Africa. And on three continents, he's turned Bible colleges around. At Trinity Bible College, he's built 4 buildings the last 5 years for cash. When he went to the university, they were about $7 million in debt. They're $1.9 million in debt right now. The guy is a brilliant leader, visionary, loves the Lord. There's some people who have PhDs and they've just got a lot of education. And there's some people who have the education and the ability to communicate to practical people like you and me. How many know what I'm talking about? And that's the Alexanders. They'll be with us for that conference. Get it on your calendar. When this is full, we'll have a few extra chairs. We'll have our overflow. And at that point, it's like you'll have to watch the live stream if you can't make it in the building. But it's going to be a great, great weekend. So, this whole series, this kind of a mini series before the Encounter Conference, it was kind of started when I started talking to a gentleman in our church. We have someone in our church. His name is Wendell Otness. Used to be the director of the rescue mission, but. His heart rate one day, went in for a checkup, was 160 over 40. Now, I don't know much about heart rates, but 160 over 40 is bad news. And he's in Texas. He was a snowbird at this time. He's kind of left for a little while. He went in. It was 160 over 40. And so you know what they did? They shut his heart off and reset it. I said, so what do you mean, Wendell? I said, Mark... I said, they killed you. Now, they would have a different medical term for it, but they killed you. You were dead. Uh-huh. I said, well, what did your wife think? Well, they wouldn't let her be in the room in case there was something that went wrong. Like, what could go wrong? They killed you, right? And you know, you know the heart running, beep, 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 beep. It went beep. And she could hear it in the other room. How many of you guys would like to hear that your husband? Don't raise your hand if you want to. That's wrong. You need to be in a marriage life group for heaven's sakes. Okay? I said, what were you thinking? He said, Mark, I'm ready to go see Jesus. He said, it was a little bit disconcerting for my family. He says, but they pushed a button and it started. And my heart was on rhythm for 3 days. He said, then we came home and I still had some problems. So we went down to Anchorage. And my heart, he says, when they checked me out in Anchorage, my heart was operating at 10 to 15% of its capacity. His heart was so bad. I mean, like almost, you're almost dead, but he wasn't dead. And so they killed him again. But this time, after they killed him, there was a nerve that was making his heart not beat correctly. And so when he was dead, they killed that nerve with a laser. And then they pushed the reset button again. He was an usher today in our first service, so guess what? It worked. But think about that. How many of you, it would be great. Just think about it. If you could push a button and kill a problem. Someone said amen. I hope you're not married. No, just kidding. But how many of you ever had a problem you'd like to kill? A bill, you know, a spending habit, an addiction, a relationship, you know, and I heard someone say once, if everywhere Bill goes, Bill, now I'm not picking on, if your name's Bill, this is not from you, okay, but if everywhere Bill goes, Bill has a problem, Bill's the problem, right? If everywhere Bill goes, Bill has a problem, and if you have problems that follow you, you might need to push a reset button and say, you know, I'm gonna pause things, kill something, and come back to life and have life. And I wish it was that easy. I want to ask you a question today. What button does God want to push to get you a whole new life? Is there something God would like to put the pause button, reset, kill something, push the button so when you wake up again in 2021, you're different than you were in 2020. So today I want to talk about a reset, how to start over. Next week I want to talk about how to dream more. And I'm going to talk about Nehemiah. Nehemiah had opposition after opposition after opposition, but he still fulfilled something God called him to fill. He dreamed a dream when there's problems all around. And so how many of you know that I think you guys just kind of maybe want to start over from 2020 and dream again? Maybe some of you are tired. You want to dream again. So this series really is a reset. How do we kind of step back, push a button, pop things open, open up the accelerator of our life and have, you know, I do believe this. I believe that you can encounter God and alter and everything changes. But I also believe that there are changes that happen because we walk out and we make the changes we need to see that change continue to happen in our life. Broad's the road that leads to destruction, narrow's the path that leads to life. There's a path. There are steps we have to take, the steps of righteous people order to God. I'm convinced that, yeah, we're instantaneously transformed by the grace of God. It's called sanctification, but then we walk it out through progressive life. We still have to walk it out every day in our life and make decisions. So today I want to talk about four decisions that could push the reset button in our life. Four decisions. And I want to talk about it from the story of Peter. And here's the background. Peter's like me. Sometimes he says stupid things. You ever just put your foot in your mouth and go, there's a wrong place to say that, wrong thing to say. You know, Peter was like, I think he just said things and then he thought, you know, I wish I had a filter. But Peter, he loved the Lord But one day, Jesus is telling his disciples, and they weren't getting it. And so one day, he says, guys, you know, he talked about I'm a good shepherd. He says, you know, someday the shepherd's going to get struck, and the sheep are going to scatter. And Peter's going, spiritual metaphor. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. And he says, everyone else might deny you, but I will die for you, Jesus. Everyone else. And he points at all the other disciples, that they'll all fall away, but not me. We're bros. Do it. And guess what? Jesus looks at him and says, yeah, before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me. He's like, dude. And then Jesus asks him and another disciple to go into the garden and begin to pray. And he goes in the Garden of Gethsemane and he stops and he says to Peter and John, he says, will you pray with me? And he goes, Jesus, it says, going a little farther. Jesus fell to his ground and began to pray. And he comes back and Peter's asleep. He wakes him up and goes, dude, can't you pray with me for 1 hour? Can't you watch with me for 1 hour? And he goes back and prays, comes back. He's asleep again. And he comes back and he's asleep a third time. And this time he wakes him up. And this time when he wakes him up, Judas comes with some other folks. And Judas comes up, kisses Jesus on the cheek and betrays Jesus with a kiss. And Jesus is being arrested. Remember the story? He's being arrested. And what does Peter do? Peter goes back and says, man, dude, the other day I told him I would die for him. Everyone else might run away. So he pulls his sword out and he's a bad aim. That or he needed to get some new glasses. I don't know. I got my transitional lenses here, so some of you are blurry and some of you are clear right now. And he aims for the guy's head, gets his ear. I mean, every heart, I mean, I used to cut horns off of cattle back on the farm, and every time there's a heartbeat, squirt, never mind. But meanwhile, Peter, you know, so he arrests Jesus, and Jesus is arrested. Peter then goes, and the Bible says he warms himself by a fire, and a little servant girl comes up and says, "You were with him, weren't you?" "I don't know what you're talking about." And then one of the soldiers says, "You were with him. You were in." "Oh, no, no." Another servant girl says, "You were with Jesus. I saw you." And Peter goes, he defies them. And the Bible says, basically curses and says, "I don't know what you're talking about. There's no way." And then all of a sudden, and he looks over and he makes eye contact with Jesus. And he goes, "Oh, man." Heart probably went down to his gut. You ever failed? You ever failed and you know you failed and you're like, "Oh, snap. I got to live with this." The Bible says he goes back and starts fishing. You know why? Because he was good at that. Was it? He's also good at letting Jesus down, but he's good at that. And here's something that is profound. Think about it. Before Peter ever denied Jesus publicly three times, he denied him privately three times. We don't always say that, but I'm convinced the most public thing you do is your private devotions. The most public thing you do is the time you spend with Jesus. You probably won't have public victory if you don't have private victory. And today, he goes back to fishing. And in John chapter 21, the story unpacks. And one day, Peter's out fishing with his disciples. It wouldn't have been very long. He's out there fishing with a couple of his buddies that go back. And someone from the shore says, "Hey, you caught anything?" And they go, "No, we've fished all night and caught nothing." So the man on the shore, who is Jesus, says, "Hey, put the net down on the other side of the boat." Puts the net down on the other side of the boat, and they caught, the Bible says, it's 153 fish. So I don't know. There's other stories in the different gospels that talk about this thing where they had to call the boats in to help. But in this story, Jesus says, put it on their side. They caught so many fish. At that time, the Bible says Peter put his shirt on. Well, it says his outer garment. So, dude, I just pictured Jesus got warm. He had a tank top, or maybe he was just out there with his hair wetting in the wind. I don't know. And so, it's never thought about a disciple without a shirt on. But hey, so he puts his shirt back on, jumps into the water, and swims to shore because he realized the only man who could say put the net on that side and they caught so many fish was Jesus. Gets to the shore, and this would be a weird encounter, wouldn't it? The last time you looked him in the eyes, you denied him, and a rooster crows. All you hear is the rooster crowing. You don't hear the grace of God in your life. You don't hear what God has done to forgive you. All you hear is, and it reminds you of the failure over and over. So he's on the beach, the same beach he was at when he got called to follow Jesus 3 years earlier. And the Bible says Jesus was already cooking breakfast. He already had fish. He had done what they couldn't do all night long. He already had fish on. He was cooking it. And they disjoin him for breakfast. And verse 15, I want to read this story. That's the context of the story. John chapter 21, verse 15, it says, when they had finished eating, in other words, breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Literally what it means is feed my vulnerable ones. Take care of the vulnerable sheep. Take care of the little ones. And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Nurture, take care. The third time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Notice it says, Peter was hurt. Why? Peter was hurt because he asked him a third time. Yeah, well, you denied him three. You wouldn't pray after asking him three times. You denied him three times, and he's asking you if he loves you. Now, here's what's unique, and we could go into the Greek if we wanted to, because Jesus says, "Hey, do you agape me?" And Peter says, "I phileo you," different types of Greek loves. We could go into all that. I don't even want to go there right now, but he says, "Do you love me?" "Yes, and you know all things. You know I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." And then he goes in and talks about, very truly, I tell you, when you're younger, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted, but when you're old, that you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and they'll lead you where you don't want to go. In other words, talking about the death he's going to die. And in verse 19 says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death Peter would glorify God in. Then he said to him, follow me. And then Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, following them. And when Peter saw him, he says, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? Now, Peter's coming off the worst massive public failure of his life. Probably would be one of the worst years of his life, and there's no vaccine for stupid. Let me just take the stupid vaccine. There's no vaccine for this, okay? There's no, like, let's get past this. There's regret. And so, if we wouldn't have been told what the conversation was about, we go, what's he going to talk about? But I want you to notice something here. There's four decisions we have to make to reset our life, the path to resetting. Four decisions. I want to talk about them today because I'm convinced of this. And you've heard me say this before if you attended here. It'll be new if you're not. I believe you pray as if everything depends upon God at an altar in your seat, but you walk away and you work as if everything depends upon you. There's a God part and there's a you part. These are four decisions you have to make. God does what God does best, then we do our part to interact and serve the Lord in such a way. Four decisions. Number one, if you're taking notes, it's also on the worship guide here, is number one, begin with grace. Begin with grace. Now, in this story, again, they fished all night. They caught nothing. Jesus is put on this side of the boat. They caught fish. Peter recognized that's Jesus. Swims over to Jesus. Jesus doesn't start this discourse like, why'd you fail me, bro? I told you you'd deny me three times. What's up? What's up with it? You know what he starts out with? Peter, do you love me more than these? Yeah, then feed my sheep. There's a profound thing I want to walk you through. Jesus asks him three present tense questions. Do you presently, currently love me? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And I'm not getting into the Greek and all that stuff over here. But Jesus gives him three future tense answers. Now follow me here. He doesn't wrap himself up in the past. There's something called grace. Grace forgives you. Grace, God's grace. Grace that's greater than all your sin. Do you currently? Yes, I currently love you. Then feed my sheep. In other words, what he was saying is there's something really important you have to understand. God deals with you not on the basis of your past, but on the basis of your future. God's forgiven your past. The Bible says when you confess your sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, which means he forgives us. It's gone. It's under the blood. We're forgiven. The single most important thing you can understand about yourself, whether you're 18 or 80, is what do you believe about God? What do you believe about his grace? What do you believe about yourself? Do you believe you're forgiven? Here's the deal. What you did is not who you are. Peter failed, but Peter wasn't a failure. There's something called grace. Friends, if you want to push the reset button, you start with grace and say, grace, God, would you forgive me? What I did in the past was gone. And if you do, God has a future for you. God will say, do you love? Yes, I love you. Then feed my sheep. He's got something new. How many want to know God has something new for you to dwell on, not the past? Amen. He has some new days ahead. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Peter failed, but wasn't a failure. Your past is a guidepost, not a hitching post. Some of us are like a dog with a 12-foot chain, and we've worn a path around that chain because that post is a guide, as a hitching post. Rather than, I'm 12 feet from that post, I'm 14 feet from that post, I'm 27 feet from that post. I used to be over there, but look where I am now because God set me free. Cut the chain. I'm no longer connected. That post right there is my past, but I've got a great future. Got a great future. Start with grace. The second decision we make if we want to push the reset button and kill some things in our life is number two, invest in relationships. In John chapter 21, verse 15, there's a statement here that says, when Jesus had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than, what's that word? These. Now, we're not on the beach. I don't know what he's talking about or what he's pointing to. He could be pointing to the boat. Do you love me more than the boat and the nets? These things. Do you love me more than these? Or he could be pointing to the people that just rowed into shore, and they're there with a boat. They drug the boat out of the water. There's 153 fish, and there's a bunch of other men there. And he says, hey, do you love me more than these guys? Do you love me more than these? Or maybe he's saying, do you love me more than these guys love me? I don't know what these is. But he's saying, do you love me more than these? I think all of us in this room have these. What's your these? What is it in your life if Jesus sat down with you right now after failure or after some choices that were negative, and he says, hey, do you love me more than this? I don't know what your this is. For some of you, maybe this, you used to have drugs and now drugs have you. You used to have a drink every once in a while and now the drink has you. Or maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a stronghold. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's your language. Maybe it's your attitude. I don't know what your these is. Maybe it's possessions. Maybe work is way more important than the worst. I don't know. But I think we all have these. We all have something where Jesus said, do you love me more than this or these or this stuff? What's your these? It's your these. Do you love me more? Let's start this year. Let's start this year by investing in our relationship with Jesus and making him more important than this and these and the stuff that we put so much energy into that takes away our time with Jesus. Now, how are we going to do this? Number one, there's four ways in your notes. Let's invest in our relationship with God. Let's invest. You might say, well, Mark, this is like, what is that? That's simple stuff. Like, yeah, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. You're like, Mark, did you realize that if you read four chapters in the Bible every day, you'll read it through in a year? And you might say, well, Mark, I don't have time. Well, then turn off the five episodes of Netflix. You really don't need to know what office is. This Is Us is not that important. Ooh, that's some of your this is. It 15 minutes. They actually have apps. The app I use, it's called Yearly. And today I read Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. And I read Matthew chapter 3. Those were my verses today. Or my chapters today. And it doesn't take that long. It takes 15, 20 minutes. And so invest in this next week when we, what a great way to reset your life. When we have a week of prayer and fasting to come, 7 o'clock at night, we have something for your kids to get plugged into upstairs or downstairs. You can come and you can say, I'm going to give an hour to God for each night of the week. Push the reset button. You might say, I don't know how to pray. Well, then come listen to someone else pray. My kids learn how to talk because they listen to me talk. You want your kids to learn how to pray? Come listen to other people pray. You want your kids to learn how to pray? Pray out loud in front of them. So invest in your relationship with God. Number two, invest in your relationship with your spouse if you're married. How are you investing in your marriage? Nothing gets better by neglect. It's never too late to begin again. Just say you're sorry. Number three, invest in your family. Invest in family. And number four, invest in God's people. Get with other Christians. Spend some time. Find a pocket of people. Our life groups launch in a few weeks. And I want to encourage you. If COVID showed me anything, we need each other more than ever. There's blessings. I think we'll look back in some ways with 2020 and go, there's some of the greatest things that ever happened in our life happened in 2020. We'll also look back and go, there's some stupid things that happened too. Three decisions. Number one, start with grace. Number two, start investing in relationships. And number three, start serving. Now you might say, oh, Pastor, I see what you're doing here. You're just trying to make sure we show up for prayer and you're wanting to make sure we serve. Yeah. But that doesn't benefit me one bit. Me serving benefits me. You serving benefits you. I learned a long time ago. There's a difference between motivation and manipulation. Motivation is when I get you to do something that benefits you. Manipulation is when I get you to do something that benefits me. It doesn't benefit me directly when you serve as down in the nursery downstairs. I don't have children down there. But there's other people in this church that benefit because you serve. But I'll tell you what serves. What the greater thing is when you serve, you benefit. You are made by God, wired by God, knit together in your mother's womb by God. And God wired you with a side of you that could only be fulfilled serving. You might say, well, Mark, how do you get that from this text? Jesus said, feed my, exactly. Okay, let's go to the text. Let me read it. Do you love me? He said. Lord, you know all things. You know everything. And he says, you know that I love you. He says, feed my sheep. What he's saying, I think, is if you really love me, then affection will equal action. If you really love me, there's going to be something that manifests in your life called not consumerism, but contributism. Is that a new word? I'm a doctor. I can coin words. Sorry. At True North, we are not consumers. We are contributors. We contribute. And you might say, well, Mark, I think that's a stretch. Yeah, well, is it? Feed my lambs, care for my sheep, feed. We can all do that. See, here's a thought. Follow me here for a second. When Peter failed, what did he go back to when he failed Jesus? He went back to those things that he was really good at. So his identity came from those things more than the one he served. He went back to what he was qualified to do. And there's nothing wrong with being good at work. There's nothing wrong with being good at what we do, being craftsmen or artisans or really gifted at a certain craft or a certain work. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not wrong to be qualified for things, but let me tell you something right now. That's only part of your life. You have a vocation, but you also have a call. He was good at fish, but he was called to sheep. Follow me. He was good at fish. He was called to sheep. He was good at a job, but his job was only a job. Don't swap a job to fulfill and neglect a calling. Don't do fish when Jesus says sheep. Don't do retirement when eternity is what God's saying focus on. In other words, friends, I believe God put spiritual gifts inside of every one of you that you will not be completely fulfilled just doing what you're qualified and good at. There's a part God designed inside of you to serve. Jesus didn't say, quit fishing. He said, feed my sheep. There's something over here that's not going to be fulfilled in the call of your life if all you do is fish. I want you to do some sheep too. So how do we do that? Number one, we do what needs to get done. We serve. We volunteer. We work. And that means sometimes in the church, that means sometimes outside the church. What are you serving for the kingdom of God? The next month and a half, we're going to roll out some different areas as we partner with Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. They want some ladies that will mentor these girls that have found themselves with an unwanted, unplanned pregnancy that are choosing to keep their baby. And they want to find some women that will mentor and disciple them. They're also looking for men. Sarah, the director of the Find Out Free, says, for the first time, we're seeing more guys come with the girls than we've ever seen. Are there some men that can disciple these young boys, these young men that find themselves with a pregnancy that they weren't planning? And so they're going to find different ways we can partner with the Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. That there's ways outside the walls of this church, but what are you called to do? Let this be a year you find out what that is. God, what is it you've asked me to do with my life that's bigger than what I earn my income from? So do what needs to get done. And if you don't know what that is, just if there's a need, here's what I know. I've had people say, oh, I'm just frustrated. This doesn't get done at the church. Well, why are you frustrated? Maybe you're frustrated because you see a need that you're called to fix. I don't know why everyone else doesn't see it. Because maybe you're called to see it. So fix it. Serve in that area. Well, if they just did this, well, just do it then. What needs to get done? Number two, do what you do best. Peter goes back to fishing. He's qualified. He has a boat full of fish, but that's not what he's called to do. You can be successful, have a boatload of fish. But at the same time, you have a boatload of fish. What are the little ones? What are the ones he's called for you to care for? What are the vulnerable ones you're called to meet? Decisions. Start with grace. Invest in relationships. Start serving. And number four, stop comparing. When Peter saw, you know, Jesus, you know, tells him how he's going to die. And when you were young, you put your own clothes on. You went where you went. When you're old, you're going to stretch out your arms. They're going to put your clothes on for you. And, you know, it's that talked about how he's going to die. And in fact, Peter was crucified, but he would not allow himself to be crucified like the Lord. He asked himself to be flipped upside down because he did not count himself to be qualified enough to be crucified like Jesus. But then Peter looks over and it says when Peter saw the other disciple, he said, well, Lord, what about him? Verse 21, Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? And John did remain alive. He wrote the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos and died an old man on an island. So if I want to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. In other words, don't point fingers at everyone. Well, what about that person? What about that? And Jesus goes, yeah, what about you? You want a reset in your life? Your reset doesn't happen if you're like, well, I'll do it if they do it. I have five kids. And there's a certain season in their age of life that when you ask them to do a chore, so I forget what it was the other day, but there came a time, and so my wife looks over one of my kids and says, hey, honey, could you please take the dog out? We got a little puppy, little Harvey. Harvey Fitzgerald. My wife named him Harvey Fitzgerald yesterday. So we have a little Shih Tzu Yorkie mix. He's a shork. I don't know. And so can you take him out to go potty? And she goes, I took him out last week. Why doesn't so-and-so do it? And I'm on the chair like, oh, no, you didn't just do that to your mom. And I said, the reason why so-and-so's not doing it is because so-and-so didn't get asked by your mother to do it. So if I were you and you want your phone and you want to drive and you want to get married someday and you want a bank account someday and you want this, you might want to go take that dog out to go potty because that's not a very big deal compared to that. Or you can have a car with four flat tires if you want. Because someone's going to have to buy those tires for you. And by the way, that AT&T phone, you don't have to have that. I could save $35 a month. Go get that doggy. No, I didn't. Say that. I felt like saying that. It's amazing. Well, how come what about them? And why don't they do it? You know, if the family of God acts like that, God's in heaven going, I don't really care. I'm not asking them right now. It doesn't matter how, what, I just, you follow me. Just follow me. If you realize, I forgave you, I forgave you, I forgave you, I forgave you, just follow me. For heaven's sakes, could you get this one right? What I think he's saying is quit comparing yourself to other people. Look at me, friends. You be the best version of you God's called you to become. God hasn't called you to be them or he or they or she, whatever the, God's called you to be you. Look at me. The only pronoun you need to strive for this year is you. You be you. You be the best version God's called you to become. Push the reset. Start with grace. Some of you have to start and say, God, forgive me. I need to start over. I need a redo. Kill these things in my life so that 2021 is like no other year in my life. Anyone identified some of these things? Some of you need to forget your past. You are not what you did last year. You're not what you did last night. You're not what you did when you were 13. Some of you have to, you're not someone, you have to go, you know, wait a second. Am I saved by grace, not by works? If that's the case, then you're covered by the grace of God and you don't stare at your past. You turn your back on your past and stare at your future. Do you love me? Yeah. Feed my sheep. I got something for you to do here. Let's focus on tomorrow and not wallow in the past. And so to end 2020 and bring in 2021, we're going to vaccinate every one of you today. We're going to partake of Holy Communion. That's our vaccination in the spirit. I didn't say that last service. I might not say it next service. But you know, communion really is that reset. Communion is that time where you pause in a worship gathering. And communion is celebration of who Jesus is. Communion, number one, is celebration. Number two, it's proclamation. You proclaim his death and his life and resurrection till he comes. And you also, it's evaluation. You take inventory. So communion is a great time to say, God, I'm remembering myself that I'm broken, that I need your forgiveness, your grace to reset in my life. It's a time of inventory to make sure you're in right relationship. That takes care of these things. So ushers are going to come at this time, and we're going to pass out the communion elements. We're going to ask you to hold them until we've all been served. So go ahead and pass out the communion elements here, and I'll explain a little bit. But when you receive the cup here, as you grab it, peel back the thin plastic layer so you can hold the wafer in one hand. Shake the cup so it tastes better. But really, spiritually speaking, this cup and this bread represent the shed blood of Jesus and his body, which is broken for us. That's the greatest news you can do. This represents grace. So as you hold this in the hand, I'm going to have, if you've all been stirred, I'm going to have you stand in a moment. We're going to sing this song that Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. That means, God, I reset. I fall under the grace of God. I praise the one who ransomed me, saved me, because Calvary covers it all. There's a brand new day. Our best days are ahead. This piece of bread represents the body of Jesus, which was broken for us. Body broken on the cross. God understands your brokenness. God understands hurt. God understands broken dreams, broken relationships. God understands all that. The cup represents his forgiveness and his healing. So I'm going to have you stand all across this place, wherever you're at this morning. We're going to sing this song, but would you take inventory? Would you take inventory? Maybe you're here and there's some these things you've identified. What are these things? Do you love these more than me, Jesus says. If you have some these things in your life, as we sing this song, just say, God, I want to give them up. I want to prioritize my relationship with you. I want to find what I'm called to do in my relationship with you. If you called me to feed sheep, I don't want to be so caught up in fishing that I miss out on the sheeping you have for me. Let's sing this song together as we pray.
Calvary covers it all, my sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all.
Let's sing it again. Calvary.
With your head bowed and your eyes closed, just right now, if there's areas in your life you say, God, I just need to give them up to you. God, please forgive me. Take inventory. In a moment, we partake of the bread together. His body, which was broken for us, he identifies with our weaknesses, identifies with our patterns of behavior that take us away from Jesus. He understands those things. Do you love me more than these? What are these, the things this year? You're saying, God, I want to kill these things. I want to make them less priority or of less priority than you. Do some inventory right now. Lord, we take inventory of our life. We want to make you number one. We want to serve you with everything in us. Lord, help us do that. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread together this morning. The same way after supper, the Bible says he took the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. The Old Testament was the old covenant. And every year they raised a lamb to be sacrificed on the Day of Atonement. It talks about in Leviticus chapter 16. Every year you took a lamb and that lamb's blood would cover your sins or family for a year. And then the next year raise a lamb for another year. But the new covenant was that there's someone's name was Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross once and for all for all sins, for all mankind. This cup represents the shed blood of Jesus on the cross for you. The Old Testament said there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. The New Testament, Jesus, his blood was shed for you. It represents forgiveness. There's grace. Some of you need to walk in the grace, not the failure of the past, but the grace of God. If you're here or you're listening online and you feel like you failed God, you've missed God, maybe you're not serving God today, then I want to pray with you right now. It's as simple as saying, God, I admit I've sinned. I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. And God, I confess you as the Lord of my life. Let's do that right now. Bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room, and online or on CBS. You've never prayed that prayer. Just say, Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. But I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. Please forgive me for my sin today. Help me serve you the rest of my life. And today I confess you as the Lord, as the life leader of my life, as the God of my soul. Help me serve you from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the cup together. Let's sing this song one more time, Heidi.
Calvary covers it all, my sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. Oh,
Aren't you thankful Calvary covers it all? Our usher is going to come at this time, and just stay standing. You won't be here long. And 2020, I just want to give a recap. We're going to give you a chance to give today. We want to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. The last 2 weeks, on the 16th and the 21st of December, we received a legacy Kingdom Builders offering. And our Kingdom Builders offering for 2020, which we'll use this year for missions projects, was just over $65,000. And I want to say thank you so much. Give yourself a hand. And I know there's still people that have committed to give toward that. We'll add that, the totals to it. And then last year, our tithes and offerings. And 2020 was kind of a weird year. But our tithes and offerings were up $100,000 over 2019. And so I say thank you, church. This year, I'm reading my devotions in the Message translation. And I just read this last week. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, "Return to me so I can return to you," says the God of the angel armies. You asked, how do we return? Begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? ? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how do we rob you? And God answers, the tithe and the offering. That's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Bring your whole tithe to the temple treasury so there will be ample provisions for my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dream. Anyone want blessings beyond your wildest dreams? When it comes to tithing, he says, test me in this. Number one, he says, you rob me if you don't. But when you give, you take care of the temple. But then he says, test me. I will bless you beyond your wildest. And he says, for my part, I'll defend you against marauders, protect your harvest, your gardens from plunders. How many, you know, God will bless you and he'll protect you. How many guys think that's a good deal? You do the 10%, he takes care of God's temple, and then he protects the other 90. That's a pretty good deal. It's a great deal. When we give, and I want to say thank you for tithing. And I want to challenge you, first Sunday of the year, maybe you've never tithed. I dare you. Jesus, the God of the angel, or excuse me, God, the God of the angel army says, test me. I dare you. See if it doesn't work. Test me. I want to encourage you, maybe the new year, you're like, what's the new thing? Maybe you've never tithed. In fact, I'm convinced you will be so blessed that if you tithe this year and you keep the 10%, you keep records, and at the end of the year your life is worse, we'll write a check back to you, the church. If you can prove your life's worth, I can guarantee you will not have to prove your life is worth worse, because it'll be better, because that's who God is. Amen. Test him in that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to give and to partner with you. And God, today, would you bless the gift and the giver? But Lord, more than that, bless us beyond our wildest dreams and protect our gardens and our harvests and those things that we have our hands in. Again, we have our gathering this Wednesday night, 3 next Sunday, but next Monday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 7 o'clock gatherings. Our Wednesday is our normal gathering, but because we have a guest speaker on that Sunday, you guys just come. It'll be focused on prayer, be focused on all that God wants to do. And then we have our Encounter Conference starting on the 2 Sundays for now. Get that on your calendar. It'll be a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night. And just a time to reset our church and focus on all God has for us. Church, God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week. God bless.